Closing the wage gap between men and women has been an important part of the women's movement since the 1960s, though it has been narrowing in recent years.
But it still exists. The Pew Research Center recently found that in 2015, women as a whole, both part-time and full-time workers, made 83 cents to the dollar that men earn.
So you can understand that a little better. That means the women in this country would have to work about an extra 6 weeks a year to earn what men do. So where do we stand in Arizona? The show's Lauren Gilger joins us with more on that.
Morning, guys. So I spoke with Nancy Jurek more about this. She's a professor in ASU School of Social Transformation. She says women in Arizona are actually a little better off than in other places in the country, but only because we're all a little worse off here. Women make 84 cents to the dollar that men make in Arizona because men here don't make as much as men in other states. I asked Jurek more about the demographics that play into this and how much this has improved since women were marching for equal pay 5 decades ago.
We have improved, but not as much as in past years. And so the improvement of closing the gender wage gap has actually slowed in recent years. And that's the problem. For white women, if it continued at the present pace, it would take 2056 that year, 2056 before white women approached men. But if you look at women of color, you see that they're even worse off. And so, for example, African-American women in Arizona make 65 cents for every dollar that white men make. And Latinas make 59 cents for every dollar paid to white men. And so you see there's a gender and a race gap.
So demographics obviously play a role then. There's some intersectionality there. I wonder, do you also see the gender wage gap play out in certain industries more than others?
Yes. Women in law make approximately 50% of what men in law make.
Wow.
In Arizona. And in sales-related occupations, they make about 56%. And others in the top 10 include protective service workers like firefighters. And there are very few women in firefighting, and there's a pay gap that's pretty sizable in that as well.
And so obviously there's a lot that goes into this sociologically, but I wonder, what do you think the main factors are that kind of lead to this?
Well, there certainly are issues in terms of women wanting sometimes more flexible jobs. Not all women want this, but some want to have more flexible jobs, and you pay for that. Having an understanding employer, as we call it, it costs in terms of wage reductions for women. But even women who don't choose to have children or don't choose to take time off to have children wind up paying for the image that all women need flexibility.
Do you think it has to do with it all, the number of women who lead organizations like this, who are doing the hiring and who are making the decisions about who's paid what?
I think that some of these organizations are led by women. And one of the problems that happens is that to make it in an organization, you often have to adopt the traditional historical values of that organization, which can include supporting differentials in pay and things such as that. And so women at the leadership can help, but sometimes by being socialized into the usual values of those firms, they wind up feeling pressured to go along with it.
What do you think some of the results are of this on the larger economy, for example?
Well, it definitely has an impact on the economy. You have a lot of women that are single mothers. So when they are experiencing these kinds of gender penalties at work, it winds up hurting families and children because the mothers aren't making enough to get by. And so we have a high percentage in the U.S. and in Arizona of single mothers that are heading poverty-level households. And so it really is a problem in terms of the future. And you also have, when you have wage discrepancies like this, and women learn that they're being paid less than men who are doing similar jobs, similar levels of commitment, sometimes maybe less than them. It hurts morale, and that, I think, hurts productivity.
Yeah. So it can't be that simple, though, right? So can employers do things like saying it's not about whether you're a man or a woman in this position, it's about how much experience you have? Can you pay them differently?
Absolutely. And there are issues of experience levels, training levels, and things such as that. But a lot of social scientists have tried to study this. It's been researched over and over again. And every time they try to think of some new thing that might explain away the gender pay gap. And what they find is that the best studies that control as many of these factors as possible still explain less than half of the gender wage gap.
Wow. Do you think this is conscious by managers, by people who are making these decisions, or do you think this is so ingrained in our society that it just is hard to overcome?
I think there are times when it's both, but often, and what is more difficult to deal with is the unconscious, because mm-hmm. a lot of legal decision making requires that the conscious intent be there. People don't have time to think about it, too. They don't want to spend time thinking about it. And so I do think there is a lot of unconscious discrimination or undervaluing of women's contribution.
Nancy Jurek is a professor in ASU School of Social Transformation. Nancy, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.